The medical marijuana provisions implementing Amendment 2 are trudging ahead in the House and Senate, but the chamber's proposals remain very different. I'm Nick Evans. The end of this year's legislative session is rushing up to greet state lawmakers, and one of the most closely watched debates they're tangling over is medical marijuana. Christopher Cano is spending part of his day lobbying lawmakers over cannabis legislation. He's part of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML.
I worked in the House in 2009 for a state representative, and optimism is not a luxury that you have when you're here during session. What we can hope for is for people to see reason, and if they won't, then they'll have to see us in court.
71% of the voters approved the provisions in Amendment 2, but finding that level of agreement for the measures working their way through committees has been difficult. In the House, Majority Leader Ray Rodriguez is backing a measure that takes a more restrictive approach than any of the proposals in the Senate. But he seems to expect his bill to moderate somewhat in negotiations.
What I would say is this. This bill is indeed a work in progress. We're in negotiations with the Senate. Our goal is to produce an implementing bill that honors the letter and the spirit of the constitutional amendment and does it in a way that protects Florida citizens.
Rodriguez's proposal has come under fire after the Tampa Bay Times and the Miami Herald reported on the inclusion of numerous policy suggestions from Drug-Free Florida, one of Amendment 2's chief opponents. Democrats on the House panel took shots at a number of provisions in Rodriguez's bill, from the number of licenses to the number of dispensaries to the routes of administration. But the most emotional critique centers on the bill's requirement of a 90-day doctor-patient relationship. Sunrise Democratic Representative Katie Edwards explains that a man made her cousin's child wait on treatment.
And that child suffered, like so many of the patients that we've heard from in committees over the years. And I had to tell my cousin. He called me, said, you know, he's having seizures. I keep seeing your posts on Facebook. Mom told me to call you, and I have to tell him. I'm sorry, Ricky. You have to wait 90 days.
But Sanford Republican Jason Broder defends the requirement in light of Florida's experience during the pill mill crisis.
We're a state that is just getting over an opioid crisis because of doctor shopping, headed back into another one. That is not what we want to head into with this. We do not want to become the place where you can move here and get this product that day without having somebody that is already managing an underlying serious condition for which this product is needed.
In the Senate, Fleming Island Republican Rob Bradley has struck the idea from his bill, explaining it imposes undue barriers for terminal patients or those that simply move to a new doctor.
This, I think, is critical. This is the difference between the House bill and the Senate bill right now, and I look forward to working with our partners in the House, along with you all, to make sure that we arrive at an appropriate place for this bill.
The stakes for lawmakers to get this right, after 3 years of trying, are high. Amendment 2 carries a clause giving any patient in the state a cause of action if health officials don't have the system up and running by November. And the urgency of the issue came into sharp focus during the Senate panel's hearing. An epileptic man there to appeal for greater access had a seizure while he was waiting to speak. The committee approved Bradley's measure with one no vote. For WFSU News, I'm Nick Evans.